Welcome to the Banter.
Three balls, two strikes. Got it.
Welcome back to the Battery. We're back, plus one, Isaiah McDonald. Welcome to the show. We are excited. I'm excited. I don't know what I'm saying. Let's fucking go. Welcome
to the Battery. I am fired up. Thanks for having me, boys. We got some big things cooking in the kitchen.
That might be the most emotion I've ever heard out of Isaiah's mouth right there.
100%. 100%. It's great. It's great. It's great that we have three high-energy dudes on the show right now. And I'd like to see some blood flowing out of you, Isaiah. That was great.
Yeah, you don't get to see that a lot, but I got to keep the boys tame. You guys, that's why you guys brought me in. We'll tame the two.
Yeah. Before we get going, I have to give a shout out to my buddy Carson Bokenfor for the new sound at the beginning. Thank you, Mr. Andrew Pratt, LFG, for
LDG.
LDG. LDG. That's right.
LDG, little dick gang, baby.
Yeah. You're supposed to say what it means.
Oh my God.
But it had its run, and we have a new member, new year, new us. Let's go, baby. Season two, trying it again.
And we'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be consistent, guys. So make sure we're
working on it.
Yeah, exactly. So we banked up a few epis. I don't know if you want to get into a little spoiler of what we got on the horizons. We can do that later. But
there's one who anybody who's been at BLE this past summer. They will know that this particular individual may or may not have been in the dugout for both the Jose Bautista home run against the Texas Rangers, the bat flip, and for the Edwin Encarnacion walk-off home run in 2016. He may or may not have been in the dugout. I can't say anything. He may or may not be in the background of the bat flip photo with his arms up. I'll tell you what, he's not a player. It's not Marcus Stroman, okay? I'm sorry. can't do that. But he was in the dugout. He may or may not have been in the dugout. But that's coming in within the next couple weeks here, fellas.
Mm-hmm. Looks like the people got to come back for more.
They have to.
Yeah.
But before we get going, fellas, you guys are way more interesting than me. What is going on? Isaiah, introduce yourself to the people here.
Oh, I thought we were going to make RJ kick it off.
They know who the fuck RJ is.
That's fair. That's fair.
Whether or not they want to know who I am, they know who I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I feel like I'm in a job interview right now.
What are your strengths?
This is actually a one episode deal. If you don't smash it, you're done.
Oh God. Now I'm shaking. I'm sweating. So I'm Isaiah McDonald. I run Instinctive Performance out of Kamloops, British Columbia. And then I actually traveled down to Florida for the professional baseball offseason. I work with Eric Cressy, who is the player development guy for the Yankees. So we train a bunch of baseball players down here, get them ready for their season. And that's kind of where I'm actually shooting this episode one in my buddy's closet down in Florida. So, that's a bit about me. I went to school in Canada, graduated from UBC with a degree in kinesiology and got into the human movement and sports performance side of things just after a ton of back injuries, seeing a lot of doctors, going through the Canadian medical system, which now that I'm down here, I'm learning it's very, we'll just say interesting. I'll leave it at that. I'm excited to be here, excited to vibe. We got RJ on a training program. We're going to see what we can do with him. And hopefully we can share a bunch of knowledge and information with everyone listening.
Yeah, I hope so too, man. I hope so too. It's been a fun thing. I know, obviously, Wedge and I have talked to you a lot, and it's been just kind of cool to get to know you a bit more, and also hear about what you're doing down there is really cool. Really, really cool. I mean, you sent us that video the other day of that pro guy. I'm not going to just expose you.
With the two different color eyes.
Yeah, don't expose me, boys.
Yeah, but that was just like a little taste of like, hey, like this is where I'm at, and I was like, oh, you're with the dogs, man.
It wasn't in like a oh, look who's here.
No.
But yeah, like you're just chilling.
But like this is my day.
You flip the camera around and you just turn it back.
This is my day. This is who I'm training. This is a real fucking deal. It was sick. It was really cool.
It was sick, and I fangirled for like 5 seconds.
I mean, out of all three of us, Wedge, you're the fangirl, 100%. Sorry. It's all right.
I'm not gonna take it as an insult.
You're a fan of the sport and its people. I respect it. I do. I'm never gonna chirp you for that.
Wedge is for the people. Right. And that's wedges, why we love them.
Wedges the people's them. Chant. People's no, I can't chant. Say that.
That's you joking. Can say, I think you can say that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I am a fan of baseball. That's the biggest thing about me, I suppose, for anybody that might be new. I'm a fan of baseball. I'm not as interesting as Isaiah and RJ in terms of what they're doing with baseball. Isaiah being in Florida with Cressy, like, that's probably the most interesting thing that in terms of someone that I know personally,
yeah,
being really around cool. big leaguers really all the time. Cool. Like, and if anybody that listened to the episode that we had with Isaiah on back in season one, what, like a year ago now, that was pretty revealing as to how special that opportunity is for Isaiah, but and making the most of it, obviously.
No kidding.
And then, Isaiah, you know what? I thought it might be a good idea, since we talk about it in one of the later interviews, but since it might take some time for that to get up, I think it might be a good idea for you to talk about UGM.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm doing a fundraiser. Actually, it was supposed to be for Christmas, but I got a lot of good feedback, and I just extended it with them. So it's going to run for a good amount of time, but we're raising $5,000 for at-risk youth. And families who sort of battle homelessness and poverty. Just something sort of I went through growing up. Mom had me at 14 and went through some stuff. But, I mean, you know, some become a big victim through it and some use it as fire. And I just want to give back because, I mean, there's no way I should be here on this call, but I am. So if you want to donate to that, there's a link. We'll throw something up in the bio or yeah, wherever we
sure.
throw it. But
sure.
yeah. yeah, we're just, I mean, this is so much bigger than baseball and all my work is so much bigger than baseball. And yeah, I just hope to bring people together through the sport of baseball and helping other people. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Cool. And RJ, you're overseas still. Tell the people your experience right now in beautiful Czech Republic.
The experience has been great. It's kind of like a foreign Canada in the sense of like the winter time, you know, it's like people like hockey, you know, people are skating outside all the time. There's a little bit of snow here and there. It doesn't really get below, I haven't seen minus 10 yet. So that's really nice. Been really mild. And actually we've been able to throw outside every day, basically. We had a bit of a snowstorm kind of stick around for a bit, but we're throwing outside all the time. The gym is packed with all the guys just lifting, getting after it. It's been fun. It's been very fun. And everyone here has treated me like, you know, like I'm one of them. And I can't ask for anything more than that, you know, especially because I stayed here for Christmas and for New Year's. And it was a good time, man. I had a Czech delicacy. We'll call it a delicacy, but it's like their Czech national food, I guess, on Christmas is the carp. Fried carp, the fish.
Like fish?
Like fish, yeah.
Fish for Christmas?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that was my exact reaction. And so I tried it out. You know, I'm not a picky eater. I like a lot of foods. I've tried two now that have made me, I'll just say like, I have not liked them is all I'll say. So this was the second one. The first one I had was pork liver was the first one I had. It was fried. And I was like, well, again, I'll try everything once because how would I know I won't like it? And liver is also insanely healthy for you. So I was like, sure, if I like it, this is a bonus. And I tried it, kind of threw up my mouth, you know, did the whole thing. And then so the carp had the same.
You didn't like it?
It had the same result. No, it had the same result. It was gooey and fishy and fried. And I remember it.
Not a fan. Okay.
I'm gonna think of it. That was real. Holy shit.
Sorry to anybody driving in their car right now. We just had to hear RJ dry heave.
Oh, that was bad. Oh, but and then I
not a fan of carp.
Yeah, but not a fan. And I was warned too from my dad and like my stepdad, and they're like, you know, that's the carp, like the fish carp. I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, that's a garbage fish. That thing's on the bottom. you pull that sucker up and you go, look at the size of this guy, and you put it right back in the water. You kill it. Like, you don't eat it. And then I was like, oh well, they have it over here, so I'm sure they prepare it pretty good. But and the mom's a good cook. The people I were with, the mom's a great cook. So. That was funny. And then there was a Secret Santa that we had.
Were you like a courteous guest who like ate the whole dish?
No, I literally could, man. I sliced off the end of it, had the end piece, put it in my mouth. I'm not kidding. Puked in my mouth, swallowed the puke. Sat there for a second.
Oh my god!
And the person I was there with was just looking at me, and they were crying, laughing because like I have tears in my eyes, and I'm just like, yo, that fucked me up, dog. And so I just put it off to the side, and I finished my salmon, and then finished my potato salad, and that was it. You know, had some liquor to wash it down.
Speaking of both upchucking and liquor. We got a DM, RJ. We got a DM from a potential friend of yours. I didn't ask too many questions.
I saw this DM.
But there was a DM, and this particular DM asked me to mention the two words, Margarita Club.
All right. Okay, so the guy who sent that, yeah, there's a story. The guy who sent that's named Sam Bodemans, and he's the husband of the wife, Sam and Excel, or the people I lived with in Belgium. On that, they're young people. I think Sam is 28 and she's 28 or 29 or something like that. They actually just had their kid, their first kid, just born like on January 6th or 5th or something. So congratulations
to
them. Yeah, they're amazing people. But so Wes, Romer, and I decided to go out one night, and there was a Mexican restaurant that we wanted to try out. We were craving some Mexican food. And so we went to this place and it was banging. Like the food was outstanding, the whole nines, and there was margaritas on the menu, and I was like, man, when's the last time you had a margarita? Like, these are surely gonna be good. Like, the food was really good, so like, these are gonna be good margaritas. And so we start drinking, and one pitcher goes down, two pitchers goes down, three pitchers goes down, and like, we're pretty sauced, don't get me wrong, like, I can hold my liquor, I'm fine. And then so it's closing hours and like, everything's closed up, and we go into the thing to go pay, and the guy speaks he speaks really good English. And so we start talking to him, and Wes, being from California, you know, knows a lot about Mexican food and understands the culture and how he has his recipes and where he get them from. We started talking with this guy, and then next thing you know, Wes is kind of going like, oh, you have some Mexican alcohols? And he's like, yeah, I got like this whiskey up here, it's really good. And so he pours us a shot, we have it again, like that's on top of the three barrels of margaritas we've had,
pictures of, yeah.
And then again, he goes, oh, that was really good. And then we kept talking, let's have another one. This guy goes ahead and the bar shooters, how they have like the 2.5 ounces on
the nozzle.
It's like the shot glasses, but it has the measurements on them.
You ever seen those? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
The top of it's 3 ounces. So this guy just goes to the top. So then wham, take it back, bam, took it down. All right, sick. Kept talking, and I'm like, yo, I'm having a hard time talking, bro. Like, we need to go.
Oh no.
And so like, you know, one more for the road, bam, took it down. Excel was coming to pick us up. So we were going over, and I was like, hey, Wes, can I go in the front seat? I really can't see that well. I need to be in the front seat so I can see I need to see the road. I'm going to puke for sure. And so we're in the front seat, and I'm talking to XL, and in my head, I knew it sounded bad. It was like, and she's like, and she's such a sweetheart. She's like, oh yeah, oh totally, that's crazy, wow. And then out of nowhere, it goes silent. I sit there and I say with perfect clear English, I go, XL, can you please pull the car over? And she goes,
and she's like, yo.
She goes, do you need to puke? I was like, yes, I do. And then she goes, okay, I'll pull over right here. So she pulls over, and I take like one step out of the car. Lawn pizza, bad. And then Wes gets out of the back seat, and he comes and takes a piss right beside me, and he just pats me on the back, like, hey, you good, bro? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, man. He goes, okay, get the fuck back in the car, and he gets smokes. So we got back in the car, went and got smokes, and then went home, and that was like the first drunk time that I'd even been around them. And it was after that, the group chat got named the Margarita Club after that one. So that was the Margarita Club.
Mm-hmm. There's, I would say this is the most excellent precautionary tale for anybody that's under the age of 19 mm-hmm. listening to this
or
episode.
18, depending where you are.
Just don't get into it. You know, just say no. The old 1980s slogan, just say no.
Guys. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, when you're sitting there with the owner at the restaurant,
you say yes.
That's what I'm saying. And like, yes, yeah. Absolutely. So I mean, like, don't get me wrong, like, I don't like doing that ever. Like, I like that throwback a few beers of the boys, but that was out of control. And it was very fun until like the triple went down. I was like, oh no.
But, yeah. No, I had the same situation when I was younger. I was getting close to the limit, and I knew it. And the father of the kid that was hosting the people at his house sat me down, and we had a short conversation about stuff, and he asked me if I wanted to try his top bottle of Patron. And I said yes, I have to, I suppose, right?
Yeah. So,
and that didn't go over very well.
That's too bad.
He filled it up quite large.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, I understand where you're coming with that
one. I mean, top-level Patron, too, it's bussing. Not to be too youthful about it, but it's fantastic.
It is good. Yeah. I have a bottle in my closet right now. Mm-hmm.
I actually, I have one more thing, one more story to tell. Can I go ahead? All right. So we did Secret Santa. We did Secret Santa this year, and I've been wanting to tell you guys this for a bit. I don't think I did. So Secret Santa this year was like our limit was 50 crowns or 20 crowns, which is like $2. No, it was, so it was 50. It was like $2. It was like, what the hell are you gonna buy for $2? Everyone was kind of buying the same things, like dollar store stuff, and it's hilarious and funny. I bought a floaty, the penguin floaty, and then people were putting it on, wearing it when we were playing beer pong and stuff.
I saw you sent the photo.
Yeah.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys were playing the show or something.
Yeah, they were playing the show, yeah. And then so I go get my gift under the tree, and I pick it up, and then, because it was wrapped in like a bowl, like not a bowl, but like it looked like, almost like a wine or something like that. Like I thought it was like an alcohol or a drink or something. So I pick it up and it's a bag of something filled with something. I was like, what the hell could this be? I thought first thing, I don't know if I'm Canadian or not. I was like, oh, it's a bag of milk. I don't know why I thought that. But I opened up this gift and this psychopath got me two fish. He got me fish. It's like living creatures.
You have them?
I have them. Yeah.
Show us.
Oh, man.
Oh, they're alive.
Oh, are they in the bedroom?
Oh, yeah. They're in. Where else would I'm going to put them?
Hold on. They're in the studio?
They're in the studio. So,
show us these fish.
All right, hold on a second.
Oh, my God. Did you name them, RJ?
Of course I named
them.
Oh,
you have a full tank and everything?
Oh, yeah. I did it up big, boys. So,
what kind of, are they goldfish?
No, I don't even know what kind of fish they were. I went back to the fish. I went back to, like, the animal store to try and figure out, like, like what kind of fish they were so I can feed them properly, and they weren't even in the tanks anymore, and I'm like,
what? Took the last two.
Yeah, basically. So like that's wow. That I named them Siegfried and Roy.
What'd you name them?
Siegfried and Roy.
Siegfried and Roy.
but I also nicknamed them Pakey and Potsy. Potsy is one of the guys that I train with on the team, and Pakey's another guy on the team. And one of them is bigger than the other, so Potsy's the big one and Pakey's the small one.
That's funny.
Yeah, but I got them.
Fish.
Got, I know, right? Like, but like, it's insane. So it's like 90.
Merry Christmas. Here's a responsibility.
Here's a responsibility. Exactly. For real.
It's a hint.
Yeah,
there's a hint.
Yeah, there was something hidden in there for sure. So I have these two fish in my room, and it's like, hey, man, do you want to you want to come over and hang out for a bit? It's like, I gotta go feed my fish. I haven't done it today. Oh, like, fuck, man. And I was like, I was gonna plan. I planned a trip. I didn't end up going on it, but. My first thought was like, man, who's gonna feed my fish? I'm gonna be gone for a weekend. Alex, someone needs to feed my fish.
You're a grown up,
dude. It's crazy.
RJ,
yeah.
Wow.
Are you feeding them grass fed flakes?
Of course.
Yeah, we need to know.
What's the diet there?
Pete is calling.
Pots a little more. Or are you?
So Pete is calling. Are you?
So I'll tell you what, man. If you can translate that, then you can go ahead and tell me what I'm giving these fish. This is like this might be the Russian gas for fish, and I don't even know.
Just steroids.
Yeah, might be the Russian gas. Next thing I know, I'm like, they're like twice the size in a week, and I'm like, what have I done? It's toxic waste. So yeah,
it's Christmas dinner. Yep. Christmas dinner for next year.
That's funny.
Yeah, so
that's funny.
These fish here, it's great actually. Now I recently cleaned the bowl today, and I put the sand in the bottom, and I put a new plant in there for them, and yeah, they're swimming around together. So yeah, it's kind of cool.
Wow,
that's all I got.
That's outrageous, man.
Yeah.
I've never heard of somebody gifting somebody two fish.
That's what I'm saying.
For a Secret Santa.
That's what I'm saying.
That might be what I do next year.
Dude, it's insane. It's insane. Wow. I actually did see something online that I'm for sure doing next year. I can't say it because I know my mom listens to this, and it's going to just be chaos. I'll tell you guys after. It's going to be so fucking. It's going to be so good.
Wow. Well, I have one thing that I have to do because I want to do it. And I don't care what the listeners think. I'm gonna shout out a company, okay?
There you go.
Because we're some successful ass people, and I have an ad read to do.
There you go.
Okay?
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm gonna shout out our friends at Oh My Apparel because I'm clearly wearing way too much of their stuff right now. I put the little wristband right here as well, little logo, because this guy Duncan is perhaps the nicest business person I've ever met in my entire life. The fact that he comments on everything we do and the fact that he is like just a cheerleader for us. And basically for any, I see him comment on everything. Mm-hmm. Like that dude is just always positive with people. And I have to say that they got some of the best post-game clothing that I've seen, honestly. Like his knack for graphic design and the way that he, and this shirt is so soft. I'm not even just saying that. I love wearing this shirt. It's great. And yeah, and it's his company's fifth birthday. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't.
This is the fifth year of operation, and he's going to be dropping some crazy new shit. So I told him that I would go ahead and take some time to shout that out. And he gave me this toque for free.
Oh, beauty.
Yeah.
Beauty.
Yeah. That's right. And he gave me like 200 wristbands that I passed out to a bunch of players. I don't know if you guys saw that on my story.
I did.
Nice. Overflowing with wristbands. So had to take some time to shout out our guy over there, Duncan, at Oh My Apparel. Because I love his stuff too, man. I honestly do. Like I go through his website like every other week, and I'm like, I just want to buy everything on here. Like, he's got great colorways. I don't know. Love it.
What's the website? Give him the website.
TeamOhmy.com.
TeamOhmy.com. Okay. Yeah.
TeamOhmy.com. That's what it is. And the guy loves shouting out people. So that's us returning the favor, shouting him out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
RJ.
Take a look at his store.
Yeah. What do you got, Isaiah?
RJ, how are we? All I see on Instagram is RJ's batting like 800 with a sub 1 ERA.
Oh, yeah.
BJO just blowing you up. How are we not getting into this? Yeah, how are we not getting into this?
It's been talked about.
This is word on the street.
He's the
people know.
He's the Czech League's Shohei, is what it is.
I had a really good year. I mean, the average, I dipped a little bit in average for a bit there, but I kept the OPS up over, I think it was like 1.1, I think, or 1.1. I think it was 1.1 was the OPS, and... no, it was good, man. I don't know. I had a good year. Right. And it is pretty cool though, how like this baseballstat.cz keeps putting up stuff, and you know, it's really just, it's so cool to see my name in that leaderboard, especially for hitting too. Cause it's like, well, you know, I work hard with that, and it was really cool to kind of see that kind of, you know, unfold that way. And then the pitching side of it, I was just happy that I was healthy the whole time, you know. Mm-hmm. There was a couple games where my shoulder wasn't agreeing with me or something like that, and I came out of
like 160 pitches one game.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was more to prove a point that, like, hey, listen, I'm trying as hard as I can here, and we've made 5 errors in the infield, and let's just figure it out before I go ballistic. And so me going ballistic was throwing 160 some pitches. And I felt fine. If it hurt at all, I would say no, I don't want to do that, but it was fine. I feel like for the most part, I have pretty low stress mechanics on the arm, so it was all right. But thanks for bringing that up, Isaiah. I just pumped my tires there a little bit there, made me smile. No, but it was a cool year, and I know with what is going on, going to happen for this next season, I'm excited too, because I mean, I'm going to work in with it's a hell of a program that you wrote me, man. I really enjoyed it, especially whenever we talk and I have some, let's say, rotator tightness or back trouble like I already had. And, you know, just like the quickness that that you made the adjustment to the program, it was really, really cool. Really amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good job, Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for pumping my tires back. I appreciate
that. Well, I mean,
my tires are still flat. I don't know if you guys feel like
Wedge. That's cause it's your turn. The people are here for you.
You want me to pump my own tires?
Yeah, well, we'll help you, but people want to know what's going on.
Well, actually, okay, fine. Sure. I gained 13 pounds over the holidays just from eating. There you go. Boom. Pump my own tires. Oh, yeah. Walked in 161, left 174. That's good.
You know what? That's a good holiday season then.
That is, like, I'm not exaggerating either. Like, literally 13 pounds in 10 days from eating.
I mean, you're also in the coldness too, right? I think that's also like...
I got to put the blubber on.
Exactly. The blubber is for heat. You got to insulate.
Yeah. That's all I got going on for me, man. I got really nothing.
You're coaching now that you're the you're the head coach of the junior team, which is pretty awesome. And I mean, we need to talk about the fact that like the information you gave everyone before their holiday break was something else too. Like, I've showed that to a couple people, and it was so extensive that it's like you knew exactly where you were, where you need to be, where you can be, and your averages from the team, averages from national averages from high school, college, pro, all the way up through. And it was just impressive how dedicated you were to it, frankly. I mean, I never saw, you know, the what do you call them, the progress reports or the...
Yeah, the report card. I just made some report cards. But, I mean, that's likely why I gained so much weight, because I was sitting on my fucking laptop for 8 days straight basically doing these. But I thought it was worth it. Like, I mean, Rapsodo makes it really easy too, right? With the Rapsodo hitting and pitching, they give you like these report cards that you can do. And I just went through and made notes, and cause it, sometimes they're tough to understand and tough to, like, they're not very accessible at times if you don't know what you're looking at. So, and they make it pretty easy with all the stuff that they put online, like with national averages and stuff like that. So I just put it on, and I just took the time to throw it all on an Excel spreadsheet so that they could see how they match up against each other, their own past as players, and national averages. So I don't know. I try to just take away the lies as much as possible, or the false information, I should say. Like, you either hit 90 off the tee, or you either hit, you know, average at 85 and you hit the ball hard consistently, or you don't. And you can kind of trick yourself into thinking that you can in a cage, because if you inside out a pitch up the middle, it usually gets celebrated, right? Like, people like seeing a ball fly. And when you're in a cage, like, oftentimes that kind of tells you the wrong information. Like, you can have a line drive up the middle, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it was a good swing. Like, so one of the biggest things that I'm trying to get across to the players is, like, us looking at this information. Like, if you hit the cage to your left 10 feet in front of you, but you hit it at, you know, 95% of your top exit velo, like, that's a good swing. Mm-hmm. When you're outside, that's a rocket down the third baseline. Like, that's a double, right? So just kind of getting that understanding. And one thing I really learned is that we don't have any kids that can pull a baseball, like, with authority, with backspin, yeah, in the air, right? Like, so that's definitely, it's helped me in figuring out where we need to go as in terms of our hitting direction, like where we need to go with our drills, where we need to go with our programming to make sure that we're getting more well-rounded. Because we can just do field drills all day and get the swings looking pretty, but if they don't know how to actually hit, then that's not really going to do anything, right? So yeah, it's been huge. And then, like you said, like, the report cards, I wanted to take the time. On the report cards, I mostly talked about what their role is going to be on the team. Like, I wanted to talk to them about, like, right now I see you as our stud, or right now I see you as a role player. And that's not to say that, like, that's set in stone. Like, you can earn your way out, or you can flake your way out of a stud position. Like your ace at the beginning of the year isn't always going to be the ace at the end of the year, right? So it was it's good to just put a progress report out, let them know where they are now. And I mean, it was more for me to do all that information than it was for them, just so that I can find direction and figure out where I want to go with all this stuff, and where I want to, what direction I want to take certain players, and other players will go a different direction in terms of their development. And then it was just sharing the information that I gathered and looked at myself with them, so that they could be on the same page as me. So, and it also helps with, you know, fluff word of buy-in, right? Like, they see what I'm talking about when they look at their stuff. And they can see that, okay, I'm 6 miles per hour below the team average right now in terms of my average exit velocity. Like, maybe I do need to commit to the weight room a little bit harder, right? Like, you can tell a kid for days, and Isaiah, you and I were kind of talking about this, like, the difference between the atmosphere of your facility versus my facility is you need to monitor, whereas, like, and motivate. But, like, for me, I need to motivate a whole lot more than monitor, because these kids are going to be fine in terms of injury for the most part. They're not moving, and they're not as strong, and they're way probably more malleable, I would say, than grown-up men.
Well, they just don't have problems that have been kicking around and compounding for a decade.
And they're not throwing 200. They're not throwing 250 innings a year, including spring training and shit.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have to push them and give them goals, and because they're not. And the other thing is too, is they don't have the presence of mind that pro athletes do. That's such an obvious statement, but, like, yeah, pro athletes can look at their careers and know that, like, I need to do more. I need to do different. I need to think different. I need to think smarter. I need to do this and that. And a young athlete will just look at, like, they'll just be kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you have to really show them where they need to work, because they won't figure it out on their own for the most part. Some will, but most don't, right? So it's important. And I did take a long time, so I actually appreciate you bringing that up, because I did take a long time putting all this information together, and I wanted to make sure I do that. And it's definitely something that I'm going to have to troubleshoot and make different and continue building and making better and stuff like that. But it is something that I'm going to do probably every year. Like, it's,
I don't see why you wouldn't.
It takes time, and it sucked at times. Like, it was a bit of a grind sitting in front of my laptop for 8 hours trying to do all these progress reports. And the other thing that it really did is that I really wanted to make sure I did was the kids that didn't make the team. I wanted to give them A, reasons so that they're not walking away with a big question mark over their head, and B, like, information on how they could have, or how they could, if they wanted to try again the next year, how they could make the team and how they can continue improving. Because at the end of the day, like, I don't care about the 19 players that I took. I care about baseball in general, and I care about British Columbia baseball in general. So these kids don't just stop playing once they stop playing for me. So if I can add reach, or if I can help kids, like, regardless of whether or not they're in my circle, then I will. And that's just how it has to be. Like, that's how everybody should be. So I wanted to do that for the kids that I cut and the kids that I took. So I did like 35 of these reports. So it took a long time, but it was worth it. And it gave me direction as much as it gives them direction. So yeah, no, I did take a long time to do that. And it was good. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so one thing I really liked about it was, I there's a lot of things I liked, but I liked how it gave you the presence of mind to know exactly where that kid is at in particular. Because, I mean, yeah, it's one thing just to, like, look at the numbers whenever they're going through it, but, like, to go back and study it and have to put it in a spreadsheet and then write about it in a report card, you're going to remember those 19 guys. You're going to remember them. Maybe not exact numbers, but, like, where they're at, or where they're good and where they're deficient in, right? And so I like that a lot. And it also gets rid of a lot of the politics, too. The politics are out the window at this point, because you're like, you know, here's hard data.
Yeah, sure.
Here's hard data. No, but, like, you know, without getting into that, but I mean, no, it's hard data, so it's cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It doesn't tell misinformation; it tells truth. So yeah. I mean, I'm just giving them everything, rather than pick and choosing what they get. Right. Like, and I didn't do that until the end, and actually, I got a shout out PK over at North Shore. Not PK. It was Luke Yam. He does all of the data for the North Shore Twins team, and I made an Instagram story. Asking people, like, what their favorite metrics were and how they use it on Rapsodo stuff, and he replied with a whole bunch of information for me, and showed me how I can find their average X velo to their pull side, to their middle side, to their oppo side. Holy and shit. Where the launch angle is at with all that stuff. So it's like, now that was really where I started, my eyes started opening to the fact that a lot of our guys are, like, trying to go up the middle all the time, and it's like, we got to use the whole field. Like, we talk about using the whole field, but then people want you to only use the middle. Like, that doesn't really make sense, right?
I think kids are also kind of dumb, and they take the whole thing of, like, hey, stay up the middle.
Right.
They take it literally. They're going, oh, I need to stay up. I need to hit the ball up the middle. It's no. Yeah. You need to directionally stay in the middle. Yeah, come on.
If a dude throws you a hang and break ball up and in, you better pull that shit.
You better go yah. Yeah.
You better hit that ball in the air, and you better pull it, and you better start running, because you're running for a couple bases, right? Mm-hmm. So, the data was awesome, and the community of coaches that reached out to me to, like, give me information too was awesome to see, and I think that there's, like, the White Rock guy, Braden Persian, he's been so cool too. Like, him and I text all the time. He's a junior coach too. I'm a junior coach, and, like, we'll text all the time about shit and just talk about our players and talk about the data that we're getting and talk about hitting and talk about all that shit. And it's hugely beneficial. I'm happy that there's not, like, an atmosphere of my team does it this way and I'm going to be super secretive about it. Like, I feel like baseball is so open with information amongst coaches versus, like, a sport like football. Like, imagine two football coaches in the same league or same, like, rivals. Like, me and us and White Rock are, like, right next to each other. Like, mm-hmm. we play each other all the time. Imagine if that was a football situation. Like, we're just sharing plays. Like, that's not going to happen, right? So it was it's cool getting to know all the coaches in the junior circuit through over time, you know? And we haven't had a great opportunity to play everybody yet, but I know by the time that happens, it'll be great to get to know all these junior coaches. So I'm excited. It's going to be a fun summer.
No kidding.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I will say that the junior game is boring. No one hits doubles. 80 feet is so much more fun, though, honestly. Yeah, like,
I believe
from
that.
Last summer, kids popping a ball every now and again and running and the bases being shorter. And that 1 year of development from grade 9 to grade 10, like, there's big changes being made. But that fall, was just, you put Bantam players on a 90-foot diamond. That's all it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was no, they didn't just magically get better. In 2 weeks, you know?
No.
So it was boring.
Yeah, honestly, I'm gonna have to go through that here coming up soon. A lot of kids coming up from 13U to 15U. It's all 90 feet stuff. So that's gonna be interesting.
Yeah.
Just trying to prepare 90 feet
makes that game slow until they catch up. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I'm just working on it. But it's also footwork.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And it's more of a legit game. Now you can really start diving in on to like what baseball is.
You're right.
And how to play.
It's not just, hey, you're the big guy who can now pop it out. It's like, yo, you need to figure out a swing properly, otherwise you're gonna get exposed here pretty quick.
Yeah. 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 I agree. No, it's been a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the season. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Electric.
Mm-hmm. Electric. Got some electric stuff.
Battery.
Well, I think that you guys got anything else?
No, not really. I don't think so. Isaiah, do you want to talk about anything else?
No, I did want to comment on you talking to all the other junior coaches and stuff like that. Especially down here in the States where it's like win at all costs. Whereas up there, it's like, how can we grow and evolve the game of baseball in Canada? And I think that's exactly why we started this podcast. And it's mm-hmm. super cool to have this tight-knit community of coaches that can go to each other. Because I know RJ knows stuff that I have no clue about. I know Wedge has stuff that I have no clue about. And we can share this knowledge and help grow athletes in baseball in Canada. Because there's a lot of talent. And I think a lot of it gets just missed just because of the size of baseball in Canada, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm. It's on the up and up, that's for sure.
Great events like ABCA happening like literally right now as we're talking. ABCA,
yeah. Burns is there right now, actually. David Burns is there right
now.
Is he? Yeah,
I want to go so bad. Yeah, one year
I do. I think the last year it happened, it was 2019 before that. I don't think it happened last year in 2020. I don't think it happened. Fuck, it's 2022.
They did it virtually.
Okay, but 2019, yeah. When I was in Vancouver, I'm pretty sure a few guys from White Rock went, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I know that RGM sends us on normal years, so wow. I'm hoping to be able to do that in the future.
That's gnarly. What a cool thing. Is it in Vegas, or where is it?
This year it's in Chicago.
It's in Chi-Town.
It was in Nashville. Nashville last time?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, sure. I think you're right. I'm pretty sure you're right with that. Yeah, because
it moves around. It's a huge event. I definitely want to go one year. Mm-hmm. But, bring my mic with me.
Oh, for sure. That'd be cool.
Yeah. We should all go. The battery shows up to ABCA.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right, fellas.
Hey, this is fun.
This was fun. And we got a bunch of episodes locked in, ready to go. So we are going to be on it.
On it.
Son. On it.
All right, follow the battery. Let's go.
Yep. There you go, guys.
0-2, swing and a miss. Good slider down and away. Good morning, good afternoon.